It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and on the 77 WABC app. Yes, thank you, New York. Nielsen Ratings has us consistently in the top 10 in New York AM radio. Woohoo! That is pretty cool, and of course a testament to the great listenership of the show and the fact that week in and week out we come to you with amazing guests, and of course this week is going to be no different. I'm just going to keep you in suspense a little bit longer. Every single week we come to you with and with such a wide range of topics, whether we discuss it within that week or, you know, you go from show to show. But, and Mind Your Business, it is certain that you will gain insights into such a wide variety of professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, marketing and advertising, time management, hiring, customer retention, grit, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we got to open with the thank yous. Special thank you to Srili, Michal, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, Raquel, and the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for the show. And of course, to the great folks here at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. Also, I'd like to give a special shout-out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. We're B-Tank Magazine, The Jewish Home, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes. We have a robust YouTube channel. This episode is going to be up on YouTube, and that's where you can get every single guest, well, not necessarily on YouTube, because those are only the ones that we do in studio, but every single episode is available at mybradio.com, and there you could see the ones that were also videoed, and you'll be able to listen to the great wisdom shared during that show. We're going to get to tonight's guest, Linda Kaplan Thaler. Linda has a long rap sheet. I'm sorry. She is
I did my time. Okay.
She's one of the most creative people out there, and that's why we wanted to have her on the show. Just a little bit of background. Linda Kaplan was the CEO, I think a CEO is there, or chairperson at...
Yeah, basically everything.
Basically everything.
No, I was chairman and CEO and chief creative officer.
Chief creative officer at Publicis Kaplan Thaler. 800-person agency? 800
yes.
people there?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So everything goes, and she was behind many iconic campaigns, if we can call it that. And she is in the, of course, in the Advertising Hall of Fame. When were you inducted?
I think about 4 years ago.
Nice.
Many women got inducted, so I was very happy.
This is special. So therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition, where we will discuss anything and everything related to the world of marketing and advertising. Linda, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
My pleasure to be here, and hello to all the listeners and viewers out there.
Thank you. Tens of thousands.
Tens of thousands.
We don't see you right now, but we know you're there.
Billions of people will be watching.
You know, let's jump right in. When you were writing your campaigns, and you know the people are not there in front of you, but you did your homework in terms of, okay, who are we going to speak to? Who are we trying to attract? How is it? You know, now we're talking about the radio. We're talking with each other here, but there are tens of thousands of people that are listening when the show is airing. How did you? You know, how does that feel? You're working on something that you know is going to affect with an A. So many people. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, maybe even billions of people through a campaign. But meanwhile, when you're working at it, you're just in there in your creative studio and you're going at it with your creative director.
Well, it's a great question. It's a great way to start probably my first accomplishment in advertising, which is writing the Toys R Us jingle. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And in order to do that, we had all the copy points written out. And I said to my boss, James Patterson, who's a famous author, brilliant, and he had sort of come up with this line, I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Right.
And Dina Vesey, my art director, had written part of that line too, so because I want to give the credit to everybody. And I said, it's got to be a song. Why? It's got to be a song because the kids are going to be the ones that are going to nag their parents. And they're going to be able to buy that Barbie at any store. So we have to give them another reason why they have to buy it at Toys R Us when it was the same price every place else. So I said, and if they sing it, that'll be, I don't even know what, you know, earned media was back then, right? We're talking about 30 years ago, which is amazing because I'm only in my incredibly late 20s. So I wrote this at a very, very young age. And everybody, and I said, I want all the copy points and I'll make it into a song. So I started writing the song. I couldn't get it. And I said, I got to think like a child. So I said, could somebody buy me a toy piano? And yeah, I have a master's in music, so I certainly can play a regular piano. And I was playing the piano. I said, it's got to be in the range that a little kid would sing. And it has to be very singable. And I'm doing nothing but singing the copy points. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million Toys, Toys R Us for you. Da, 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 from bikes to trains. That was it. It was everything on the strategy statement. And we didn't like the other songs that had come in. And they were by some very famous people. And they ended up testing this with five-year-olds against the other songs. And the five-year-olds gave it a thumbs up. Those that didn't have thumbs in their mouths took time to point up.
On the pacifier.
And that was my first national jingle. You know, I had been writing children's songs for many years when I was a teacher, but this was really great. And what happened virtually overnight, people started singing it everywhere. And I remember it had been on a week, and I was at a bus stop, and this little four-year-old was singing and rushing to the bus stop. And the mother said, if you don't stop singing that darn song, you are never going to make it to school on time. So I knew we had a hit. And 30-something years later, it's in 35 countries around the world. I speak all over the world about my books and my life. And virtually every country in the world can sing the song back to me in their language. Japanese, French, Spanish.
Wow.
I don't know what they're saying. They may be talking about the weather, but it sounds good. So that was my first realization that to understand your consumer, first of all, you have to know who your consumer is. Secondly, you have to get into their headspace, right? And in that case, I got into the headspace of a little five-year-old kid. And so we can all do that because we can bring out that child part of us, that scared part of us, that happy part of us. We pitched Zoloft, an antidepressant, which I'll have to say many of the creative people wanted to buy in bulk. I had the sense that, stop me if I'm talking too much.
Okay,
just go
it's
ahead.
Good. We're good. We're good.
And I had the sense that when we were pitching Zoloft, that I looked at all the antidepressant commercials, and they were really sad. And I thought the last thing a depressed person needs is to watch sad advertising. So I hired a comic, Josh Comers, who went on to write for and every late night, Conan O'Brien, everybody you could imagine. Because he had an act that was about depression. And he was a very, very funny guy, although he never smiled. He was a funny guy. And I said, this is going to be really crazy, but the way I want to pitch this is I want to have comedians, because they're by far the most depressed group of people you could ever meet.
Interesting.
I want to have them talking about Zoloft, and the line would be, funny, you're not alone. Sort of open up the whole thing. And we won the business with that. You know, again, getting into the headspace of not understanding to do depression advertising with depressed people. Hello?
Yeah, going back to the Toys R Us campaign, you said a great point. It was, you know, to anyone in marketing and advertising marketing, they understand it's intuitively, but you tested it on five-year-olds.
Yes.
You didn't have the corporate executives in the room allow you to railroad it because, oh, that sounds it's too corny or too cutesy.
Right.
So let's test it on who we're trying to reach.
Well, I have to say the Toys R Us people were fabulous. Charles Lazarus, who passed away recently, was the head, his parents owned the business, and he was brilliant, and he had the foresight to know that instinctively. You know, I used to work on Kodak many years ago. Our team created Kodak Moments and everything, and which, by the way, was not created by us. We were watching somebody on television, on Johnny Carson, an actress, and we were doing these very emotional ads, baby's first step, baby's first pee-wee, whatever you manage, there was a film for it. That was for the firstborn. The secondborn, you're born, we take a picture, you graduate from Harvard. That's it. That's all you can get. I was a secondborn, so I know. But I do remember, though, that Kodak, they used to react very instinctively, the leaders there. And if it made them cry, And if it made me cry, I knew it was a good ad to put on TV. Okay. And an actress was on Johnny Carson one night, and she said, my daughter took her first steps. It was like a Kodak moment.
We all got she back said together. It first.
She said, I didn't even know who the actress was. I said, have we ever used that in our advertising?
That's amazing.
No. I said, we will now. And then I wrote a song called Kodak Moments. But again, we have to listen to the consumer, right? Dawn, which is a product, a P&G product,
right.
Dishwashing liquid, that was always sort of in a price war with Palmolive.
Mm-hmm.
And about that it was efficacious against grease, but gentle on your hands. And we had this thing called Newsroom at the agency where you could actually see real time what women, who were mostly the consumers, mm-hmm. of course, doing most of the dishwashing, what were they talking about? And what we found that they talked about a lot was the carbon footprint, saving wildlife. And then we found out that every time there was an oil slick disaster, environmentalists only used Dawn on the birds because it's gentle on their feathers, but it's efficacious against grease. And Procter & Gamble, a goodness of their heart, they donated hundreds and hundreds of bottles every year. I said, my goodness, people should know this.
Right.
And so this brilliant team that was working with us at the time said, let's do something about how Dawn is saving the environment,
right.
you know,
right.
and wildlife. And it became an amazing campaign, so much so that there's a picture of wildlife on every bottle, and every time you buy a bottle, you're donating a dollar, you know, to saving wildlife. And it put them out of this trust war, price war. And we learned a very valuable lesson. Our planner, Jerry Wolf at the time, Jeffrey Wolf, said, you know what we've learned? That people no longer buy products. They buy into what that product or brand represents. And that was such a piece of wisdom that we took going forth of like, your brand has to do more now. Your brand has to stand for something, a goal of the soul. You know, it has to be out there and help us in a bigger way than just, you know, money or, you know, a side-by-side.
We're going to come back to this point right after the commercial break. My guest this evening is none other than Linda Kaplan Thaler. Yes, just Google her. I think this is the easiest way to find out exactly her life story. I think that's the best way of putting it. She is in the Advertising Hall of Fame. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Discover the value of corporate storytelling and how to grow your business as Talk Radio 77 WABC presents the Executive Business Forum with expert insight from Jeffrey Hazlett, Yitzhak Zaflis, and fashion design icon Joseph Abboud, live from Stage 17 on Tuesday, July 16th, inside the Talk Radio 77 WABC studios, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Zaflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC worldwide at mybradio.com and on the 77 WABC app. My guest this evening is none other than Linda Kaplan Thaler from the Advertising Hall of Fame and so many other productions. What are you up to these days, Linda?
Well, I sold my agency several years ago, and I thought that was going to be it for advertising. Robin Covell and I, who ran the agency, have written several best-selling books together. Bang, Getting Your Message Heard in a Noisy World, The Power of Nice, The Power of Small, Why Little Details Make All the Difference. And our last book, Grit to Great, How Perseverance and Pluck Can Take You from Ordinary to Extraordinary, which I'm proud to say was not only a bestseller and has been translated in many languages, but it is also listed in 2015 when it came out as one of the top business books of the year. And I speak mostly about the grit to great idea as well as the power of nice. And I think because we're in such a divisive culture, the power of nice, a lot of people are going, I call it the power of nice in the age of mean. You know, how do you do that? And so I just love it. I was in theater in my 20s, most of my 20s, I was in a comedy troupe. I studied improv. And after 30-something years of advertising, I went back to studying and performing improv. I went back to performance because when I do my events, it's like performance. I try to make them funny and emotional and also have some messages at the same time. So I'm going all over the world and loving every minute of it.
Amazing. Amazing. I want to come back to the Dawn campaign because you touched on something so important. One of the fundamentals in advertising is direct response. You know, we were selling it. We want to make sure if you're running an ad about a Dawn product, we got to make sure, put that coupon on, let's track it, et cetera. Yet at the same time, you shared something that's so fundamental, and that is talk about your brand story. Talk about your promise to the customer. Talk about that. And apparently in that case, it worked. It sold more product. But for those working on the numbers, they probably were like, you know, having fits. Like, oh, this is not the right way. How are we going to sell more product? You're going to talk about the whales and then the dolphins. Like, right. What are you doing?
Well, here's the challenge. Everything now has to do with data, you know, accumulating data. How do I get to the top of search engine? And so it's becoming, if you think of this funnel, the bottom of the funnel is make that transaction. Mm-hmm. But to me, if you haven't established what the brand means, how are they going to get to that point? And I think that's what's going by the wayside a lot. It's like, I don't care about that. I just want to know what's going to put people in the store, sitting in the seats in the airline, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
And my argument is, and it's been proven, you know, with Dawn, with Aflac, which I can talk for
right.
hours about, Aflac. we need to first give a reason why the consumer should like us, an emotional reason. You know, even when I do my speaking engagements, there's no pie charts up there. It's all about, you tell a story, you tell them why that story is important, and then you tell them why it's important to you. Patricia Fripp, who's my guru of one of the greatest speakers, who Robin and I studied with, said, she's British, so I'm going to do a very bad British accent.
It's okay.
She says, when you're speaking to an audience, always remember three questions. Who cares? So what? And what's in it for me? And everything that we've edited our books, spoken about, talked to on a commercial is all about who cares, so what, and what's in it for me. And if it doesn't do all three things, take it out. That's it. So that's why the advertising I've done has strike some kind of emotional chord, because I think that's where it starts, and then makes a point about why it's important. When we were pitching Aflac, which, by the way, we only got asked to pitch it because, talk about the power of nice, the guy who was doing their research, his best friend, I had taken out to lunch 15 years ago, just to be nice. And when he heard we started an agency, he said to the folks at Aflac, oh, you should put Linda Kaplan's new company in the mix because I've always wanted to return the favor. It's the only reason we got put into this pitch.
Look at that.
And here we were. We got this mounds of research. All the agencies got it. And the 30-second commercial was going to have to explain all the policies, why there was an emotional impact for the parents who were getting it, the fact that they had to get it through work.
So one second, this is already an impossible task.
Right, it's already a three-hour movie, right, with no intermission. So I waited till everybody left the room, and I said to the CEO, I said, Dan Amos, wonderful, brilliant man, nice as could be. I said, Dan, forgetting about all this, what keeps you up at night? Great question, and I always ask clients that, because They don't have time to think. It's like improv. You write it. He said, honestly, I am so aggravated that even my best friends and relatives cannot remember the name of my company. I said, well, you only have 3% awareness, and you've been spending $100 million over the years in advertising. Wow. So one, you need a new ad agency. And two, Woody Allen said 80% of life is just showing up. I said, the first thing we have to do is get people to remember the name Aflac. It's an acronym, American Family Life Assurance
Company.
Which
no one knows. Right.
I said, then we'll worry about the rest later. And he said to me, Linda, if you can do that, I don't care if you show me a naked man tap dancing on a roof. I'll buy it. But we get back to the agency, and nobody can remember what we're pitching. It had no awareness then.
Right, right.
And I kept saying, Aflac, Aflac, Aflac. It was getting annoying already. Finally, Eric David, brilliant art director, said, can you say that again? Aflac, Aflac. He pinched my nose. We're a very informal company. You can touch noses if you want and ears. And he said, apropos of nothing, you know, you sound like a duck quacking. Ta-da! And these guys, Tom Amico and Eric David, instead of me shooing them out of the room, I said, it's brilliant. And everybody...
Just like that. Aflac.
Yeah. And it was that moment, and when I speaking engagements, that I go, now you're getting an insight into the deep intellectual knowledge you need to run an ad agency. What otherwise might have been a joke. They had the serious idea, and we presented it. And I said to Dan Amos, you're going to hear the name of your company over and over and over again, but hopefully in a way that's entertaining. And so we had this poor, unfortunate, not underdog, but underduck, constantly reminding people in the commercial what the name is. They don't hear him, but the consumers will keep hearing it over and over again. They went from 3% awareness to 96% awareness in under 2 years. They doubled, tripled, quadrupled their sales. But that's not what I'm most proud of. Do you know what I'm most proud of?
It's getting very emotional.
Yeah. Aflac is so well known that now when ducks see other ducks, they immediately think of supplemental insurance. What an accomplishment.
Fantastic. But coming back to reality and another critical question. I mean, I'm sure these days you could share the story. What happens when you pitch the concept to the to the CEO? Did he just sign on? He said, "Linda, brilliant, run with it."
No, what happened was it made him very nervous.
I would imagine.
And they were doing testing, and we had other campaigns that were being tested. But Robin and I had such a belief in this that we said to Dan, "We're going to pay for the testing." It was like $35,000, and we were a new agency.
That's like...
And it was money that we really didn't have.
Betting the bank.
And we were betting the bank, you know, and results came back, and it literally broke the bank in insurance category. I got a call from, you know, ASI. I mean, they just never saw scores like that before. And so Dan said, I have to run it. It wasn't his first choice, but I have to run it. And credits to him that he had...
Right, backbone. That's right. I'm sure people are like, what type of nerdy ad is running on the radio for your company?
Well, think about it. This is for catastrophic insurance.
Yeah.
People who have serious diseases. And we were doing a funny ad about a duck. But, just like I was talking about with Zoloft, what we found is that the insurance category has very low interest to people when you do commercials. And the reason it has low interest is because it's high anxiety, you know, to quote Mel Brooks. People are so anxious about what could happen to them that they turn off the ad.
Really?
So by having this funny little duck...
Right, then they're gonna keep it on.
Well, basically, what you're saying subliminal is it's not going to be so bad. Aflac's going to take care of you. You know, it's the same thing when we were talking about Zoloft. I interviewed a psychiatrist. I said, what do you do when somebody comes in and they're suicidal? What's the first thing you do?
Right.
He said, I tell them a joke.
Really?
I said, and what do they do?
Fascinating.
He said, they laugh.
Fascinating.
They're depressed, but they're not crazy.
But they're human.
And I said, why do you tell them a joke? He said, because it's my way of saying to them, if I can joke about this, it means we're going to figure this out. You're going to be okay. It's a sense of comfort. So there's always that emotional underpinning of what people say in the manifest, but what's really going on, right?
AI is never going to take us out, right?
Right.
So coming back to the challenge that I'm sure you faced many times, not just with Aflac, not just in you know some of the examples you mentioned, you're pitching a brand, a creative concept that you and your team know in your gut, it's a winner, but they make their snide remarks right away or out of hand, you know, rejections. It's not going to work. It's just not, you know, it's too corny. It's too this, too that. How do you hold on and say, listen, you know, give it the real look that it deserves because this will work for your company. I mean, after all, why are you coming to us? Where are the pros at this?
Yeah, I have to admit there are many clients that they won't do it, you know, and those are not the best clients. And you know what? They don't get the best advertising. It's when you work with clients who are just sort of on your wavelength. Look, I come from the world of entertainment, so our pitches are like shows. I mean, we sing, we dance. We Coldwell Banker, the real estate company, we wrote a song that had people dancing with their real estate agents. And, you know, we do crazy stuff. And that helped us sell a lot of things. Because we don't do it in an intellectual way. We do it in
emotional,
feeling good kind of way. We were asked by the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, that I'm very close with, and Abe Foxman used to head it. And he came to me a few years ago. He said, we're doing a 100th anniversary of the ADL. We'd love you to do some kind of film. But we really don't have any money for production. But we want everybody to see it. Okay. So the first thought was, let's talk about people who died before their time because of hate crimes. Martin Luther King, Yitzhak Rabin, Anne Frank. I mean, all these people. Right. Daniel Pearl.
Right.
And so the thought was in the group, okay, we'll do this very, very sad film and show how each of them had their lives cut short. Mm. And I have a belief, and Robin and I talk a lot about turning the telescope around, and which is why I love people to not just have good ideas but bad ideas, because so many great ideas come about because someone had a bad idea. You know, in improv, it's called the yes-and theory. You never negate somebody. And so that idea seemed pretty depressing to me. But if it wasn't for that idea, we wouldn't have turned it around, because I said, you know what? Instead of these people dying before their time, why don't we try to imagine what they would have done had they lived a good, long life? And so, you know, what would be the newspaper say, and what would be a, and then one of the people in our group said, and imagine if Yono Ono would give us the song Imagine, John Lennon. Well, Yoko Ono was so taken by this idea, as were the families of all the victims. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that all these families allowed themselves to be have that person in an ad together. We got the song for free forever. And so it simply was the Imagine song, and you'd see, you know, a newspaper that would say, you know, Martin Luther King at 88 has united, you know, for Black Pride, whatever.
You pick the name and fill in what they would have accomplished through
Yitzhak
their
Rabin,
life. Right.
20 years of peace in the Middle East. It just went on. Anne Frank wins her fifth Nobel Pulitzer Prize. I mean, it was, anyway, we just posted it. We didn't have any media money. We just posted it on YouTube. And
this is the early days of YouTube.
Yeah.
This goes back, 15 years ago?
No, the actual thing that we did was probably around 6 years ago.
Okay.
Within a week and a half, we had 1 million views all over the world in many languages.
Wow.
And famous people who really believed in it would had millions of followers. We never paid anybody a penny for it. And it ended up that Obama wanted to see a showing in the White House. So this is an example of virtually no money and just creative people. Whitney Pillsbury and Jason Graff with the creative team on it. And they did such an amazing, it was amazing. Sorry about that. It was amazing. And it was one of the most important things I've ever been associated with.
My guest is Linda Kaplan-Thaler. You're tuned to Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Discover the value of corporate storytelling and how to grow your business as Talk Radio 77 WABC presents the Executive Business Forum with expert insight from Jeffrey Hazlett, Yitzhak Saflis, and fashion design icon Joseph Abboud. Live from Stage 17 on Tuesday, July 16th, inside the Talk Radio 77 WABC studios, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is none other than Linda Kaplan-Thaler. Linda, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
You are most welcome.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
So, you know, first of all, you mentioned that you speak around the world. In fact, that's what a special shout out to Jeffrey Hazlett and the C-Suite Network. I saw Linda up on stage, and I'm like, I got to get Linda on the show. So, you know, talk about your speaking engagement. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website called KaplanThalerProductions.com, and in there you can find out a little bit about me and see some of my work, see one of my speaking engagements, and then buy the books, whatever you want to do, and also ask, you know, if somebody wants to book me for something. You know, I've always loved speaking, but I always had to do it in my off time when Robin and I were running a company.
Right, you're running an agency with 800 plus
exactly.
People.
And so 3 years ago when I kind of left advertising, although I am still doing some advertising and I have some consultants,
sure.
And that's a lot of fun, I found that I wanted to make this more of a second career, the speaking. Because it's my way of sort of imparting whatever knowledge, you know, that
right.
I've accrued
right.
Through the books that Robin and I have written and sort of experience along the way. How can I empower people to feel good about who they are or motivate them to do better as we do in Grit to Great? And it's taken me to all parts of the world.
Amazing.
And also a lot in the U.S., but, you know, India and Spain and Mexico. It's phenomenal. And I meet people from all walks of life, none of whom are in advertising. And it's just a joy to be able to impart things. You know, when Grit to Great, I think one of the most wonderful things in the research that was done at the University of Pennsylvania by Angela Duckworth is that it's not brains, it's not a genius IQ, it's not virtuoso talents that get you ahead. It's this trait of grit, which we define as guts, resilience, initiative, and tenacity.
Right.
You know, we're ad people.
Right.
We had a
right.
You know. But it's really true. Colin Powell was a C-minus student in college until he discovered his love of the military, turned his life around. Steven Spielberg couldn't get into film school. Michael Jordan did not qualify for his high school basketball team. And Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's, had no more than a 10th grade education. They didn't have that it factor. What they had was what we call the grit factor. And I love telling that because, you know, most of the people like myself are average people, and it's too easy to say, I'm not successful because I wasn't born brilliant. Or I'm not successful because, you know, I don't have that entrepreneurial, you know, talent. I don't play, you know, piano and all that. The fact is that most of the incredibly successful people are completely average in all of those things, but they do have this persevering quality to them.
Such a great tip, and especially for the listeners of this program, you know, it comprises of so many small business owners, you know, who have to stick it out, you know, stick it out day in and day out.
Yes,
and you really need that. Without the grit, you're toast.
Yeah, you know, and it's also embracing failure. We call it failing forward because mm-hmm. the most successful people, and we interviewed dozens of people for the book, the most successful people are the ones who had the most failures, were willing to fail. James Dyson, I call my serial failure. He's the one who invented the bagless vacuum cleaner.
Okay.
And you see this erudite British man talking about that. But what you don't realize is that it took him 15 years, and he had 5,126 prototypes that totally sucked. Or perhaps I should say they didn't.
No pun intended there.
Or perhaps I should say they didn't suck. You know, yeah. And he said, I'm glad I had all these failures because I was looking to do something that was evolutionary. I ended up doing something revolutionary. And so, and you know, there's a very famous lawyer in New York, not Michael Cohen, who is considered brilliant. People say he's a genius because he has memorized every case study in the law books. We're talking about thousands and thousands of them. Every word. So they say, he's a genius. He said, I'm not a genius. I'm dyslexic. And when I was in law school, I knew that I would be unable in real time when I was in court to be able to read through the case.
Amazing.
So I knew I had to commit it to memory. As a matter of fact, people who have had some kind of misfortune, mm-hmm. whether there's a learning like a dyslexic or mm-hmm. they had a lot of obstacles to get through, they have a greater tendency to become successful. A greater tendency. People who are born brilliant, and I love this fact because it makes me feel so good, only have a 2% chance of becoming successful because they don't know how to beat a challenge because everything is effortless until they get out in the real world and they try to start something and they hit a roadblock and they go, how could that
so
be?
So it's the EQ over the IQ.
Definitely.
Let's move back to advertising and marketing. I mean, first of all, I you know, one of the reasons we really wanted you on the show is because we know your range is so wide. In fact, when you get into public speak, is it always, you know, what is your, you know, the narratives of choice that they ask you to speak on?
It's either about, sometimes it's my life story, you know, which is not that interesting.
Don't say that.
No, it's terrible.
You started in the Bronx. I remember that.
In the Bronx, yeah. And by the way, there's a difference from a Jewish person from the Bronx, like me, and an Irish Catholic person from the Bronx.
Uh-oh, we don't get booted off the air now.
No, Irish Jewish person from the Bronx would say, I'm going to Alexander's and I'm going to buy a sweater. This is how we used to
say. I remember
buy a sweater. But my Irish Catholic friends would say, my sister Mary and sister Mary Eileen and all the sisters are getting together. There was a more sibilant thing. And if you watched the movie Doubt with Meryl Streep, when I heard her utter the first word, because she's supposed to be a nun from the Bronx, an Irish nun from the Bronx, I looked up and I said to my husband, it's the first time I've heard somebody speak that since I was
on
Webb Avenue. She had such an ear. No, I love Irish. I love Jews. I love everybody.
Going back to advertising marketing, marketing a product that's B2C versus an entity that's B2B. What framework would you say that has to be followed in each category?
Well, it's so interesting because people assume that B2B means you just should be channeling, you know, those vertical magazines, you know.
Right, Business Week and Fortune and Forbes.
And I'll tell you something that you probably didn't realize, but Aflac advertising was B2B. It wasn't B2C. It wasn't to consumers.
Right, because we're talking to the C-suite executives to get it to the company, correct?
Well,
partly.
So here's what the issue was. You cannot buy Aflac yourself. You can it only be purchased if your company offers it. So why were we advertising on TV? Because they wanted to grow their sales force.
Okay.
And suddenly they had, first of all, they had people coming and going into, we used to say Ask About at Work, going into work, mm-hmm. going, do you carry Aflac? Something I never heard about before.
Right.
We created, Eric and Tom created these little furry ducks.
Okay.
Which were used every time somebody would buy them, it would go, the proceeds would go to help their cancer hospital in Atlanta. They've raised millions of dollars. And we had the feeling that you may be a business person, but you're still watching TV.
Okay.
So here it was B2B because we wanted people who were in their sales force, and Aflac used to say, our sales grow as our sales force grow. And they're competing with all the other, insurance agencies, and they needed a bigger sales force. And that's what happened. When they looked at the advertising, they're going, wow, I think this is going to be an easier thing to sell into a company.
Fascinating. So you used B2C mediums.
Exactly. Exactly.
For a B2B.
Yeah, not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Okay. And then let's focus on the Dawn and et cetera, B2C products. Products that you can get on the shelf. What are some tips you could share in that space?
Well, we have something called, I think I mentioned before, the War Room, where you have on your walls all the tweets and all the blogs that are going on that have to do with your consumer, not necessarily your product, right? We were selling ZQL, which is sort of the nighttime version of DayQuil, right?
Right, NyQuil, DayQuil.
NyQuil, whatever that was, yeah. I hope I got the name right.
Okay.
And so they started, the team that was working on it started looking at what are people talking about at 2 o'clock in the morning. So they realized we have to really reach insomniacs, so we should be doing advertising at 2 o'clock in the morning, right, which is what we started to do, and also the media buys much cheaper, right? But
right,
who better
the
to talk to? Shift. Who can't go to sleep? Is,
right.
You know, so being it's much more about the conversation with the consumer. And if you have a bad interaction, the most important person on Virgin Airways is not Richard Branson. He said the most important person is that flight attendant who's either going to help you or not help you with your luggage.
That's true.
And so we really believe in that touch person is the most important thing. We were dealing with one of our fast food accounts. Somebody wrote in that they had a bad experience with some of the food product. Mm. And what they got back was, in an email, call this 1-800 number. And I said, this is a company we're pitching. I said, imagine if that person had 10 million friends on Facebook, which is not crazy.
No.
The way things spread.
That's
I said, you'd be out of business. You have to think about the smallest touch point as being maybe the biggest motivator or detractor for your business. So we have to think in a different way, and we have to understand that we're like paramecium under a microscope, right? Everything we do, and we've seen dozens of examples of companies that have had a mishap and it goes viral, and that's the end of it.
So in fact, from your vantage point and a lifetime of experience, damage control campaigns, any tips on that?
Yeah, I think, be honest. I mean, one interesting in the political debates the other day is Mayor Pete, when he was asked a question about the black situation, and he said, I couldn't get it done. And he raised $24 million.
Wow. Because he was forthright, honest, candid,
and
finagle his way around it.
He said, I just wasn't good enough for this one, but I'm going to try harder. And so we need to be incredibly, incredibly important and listeners and be very honest. I think that one of the difficult things, they always say, the worst thing next to a bad ad is a bad product that you're advertising in a good way. If you're advertising something that really stinks,
right?
No, they will eat that fry or whatever, or buy that whatever that is, that widget, and then they'll never buy it again.
Right. And then and they'll blame the agency.
Of course. Not always, but a lot of the time.
My guest is Linda Kaplan-Thaler. You can find out more about having her to come to your event in terms of speaking engagement and, of course, her performances, etc. She ran a Publicis Kaplan-Thaler for a number of years, an 800-person agency. So she has, and she's in the Advertising Hall of Fame, so she has a long life experience list of, and again, many of the famous campaigns we spoke about earlier in the show were her brand. brain, really, you know, emanated from her brain and her team. Of course, you ran it. Always
yes.
your team.
And I would
yes.
like to say also something yeah. else that I do is I teach improv. You know, at companies, groups around the country, because improv teaches you how to open up and to really listen. So I.
And how can people find out more about getting in touch with you?
Oh, you can just get in touch with me at KaplanThalerProductions.com, on Twitter at LindaThaler2, and Facebook. My public page, because my private page has been maxed out, would be Linda K. Period Thaler,
excellent.
Something like that. But if you just go onto my website, you know, you can learn more. And I get back to everybody. So
amazing. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Ever wished, as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events, that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets, terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at DaleCarnegie.com. That's DaleCarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
Discover the value of corporate storytelling and how to grow your business as Talk Radio 77 WABC presents the Executive Business Forum with expert insight from Jeffrey Hazlett, Yitzhak Saflis, and fashion design icon Joseph Abu, live from Stage 17 on Tuesday, July 16th, inside the Talk Radio 77 WABC studios, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn, just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. By the way, we've been on for 4 complete years. Yes, that's a mazel tov, no? 4 complete years, over 200 shows. It's very, very exciting. And again, I had the honor of having Linda in studio a couple of years back. And it's just, you know, it's an honor. And we've been in the top 10 in New York AM radio for, I think, 3 years running.
That's
in fact,
awesome.
Just recently we came in number 3. And it's a very Sunday night. I mean, you know, there's sports teams, you know, and there's bowl games and performances and everything else. It's a tough space, but having great guests make it easy.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, we have only around 4 or 5 minutes, and I have like 1,000 questions. So what do I do?
Speak quickly.
Okay, here goes. let me jump in this way. When scaling a team, especially for an ad agency, how do you spot talent?
You know, one of the first things I do, I never look at where anybody went to college. It's meaningless.
Okay.
We had a policy at our agency that anybody that wasn't nice was not going to get hired, because you need, it takes a whole agency to, you know, like a village to create something.
That's right.
And people don't do anything by themselves anymore. So I look for people that are bright, have a great sense of humor, okay, and able to think laterally. You know, there are too many people who just follow it and follow and follow it. And when they can lead a team, it's when they lead a team and everybody feels comfortable, like I said, coming up with even a bad idea, because so many of them become good ideas. And that's what we try to foster
attitude.
At the agencies. And attitudes. As a matter of fact, the one thing that can get you fired is if you yelled at a messenger or somebody who's in a...
So system. Special. I love that.
It deflates all the creativity.
I love that.
So one of the first things I want to interview people is I try to see what kind of sense of humor they have. Because people who are very, very funny and mm-hmm. witty mm-hmm. are able to make those synaptic connections that a lot of other people can't, right? That's the basis of humor, is things that don't go together. You know, a well-dressed man slipping on a banana peel. That doesn't go together. So that's funny.
Right.
If it happens to you.
Right, exactly. Next question. What elements make a great ad? And let's focus on print, on a print ad.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say ad. I would say a campaign.
Okay.
Right, because
good.
It's no longer
correct.
Just the ad.
Correct,
it's,
right.
It's the content.
It's the multi-channel
whole
effort.
What I believe is that you need to start not with the products and the attributes, but you need to think, what role am I playing in somebody's life? There's extrinsic goals, which is, oh, I'll save a lot of money. And then there's intrinsic goals, like with Dawn, I'm helping the environment. More and more we see that people can be connected better when they have these goals of the soul from the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're just going to be talking about price point and obvious comparisons, it kind of, you know, we get 5,000 to 7,000 messages a day. So
right.
like cooked spaghetti, only a couple stick on the wall. So it's very important that your brand believes in something. And this is where a lot of people fall short. A lot of clients fall short because they're too interested in the ecosystem, the bottom of the funnel, where people are going to make that,
mm-hmm.
that decision. It's like somebody goes to a store to buy sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody goes to a store to buy sneakers, but they know they want to they know they want to buy Nike first. Why? Because it's the branding. And that does a lot of the job for you. You know, with Clairol, they had a million brands, but because Clairol had, you know, or Herbal Essences, it had a very, very good sort of mantra.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was funny, it was like, I'm going to buy a Clairol brand. Now I just got to decide which one. And we need to do more of that because we're getting very lazy and just talking about the price points without thinking about what the brand really stands for.
I guess a last question. You know, when an agency develops a campaign, a narrative, and it finally gets approved, what is the length of time that it needs to be out there in order to truly, accurately see how, you know, its effectiveness before you pull the plug?
Well, that's very interesting because so many ads are not on TV anymore.
Right. And the social media, it could be print, it could be video-based.
Yeah.
I guess as a final closing takeaway, what could you share with the listeners that, you know, and anything from your vast experience?
I know it's going to sound saccharine, but my first thought is be nice. Because when you drill down, especially for younger people who are getting, you know, it's not about, as Robin says, it's not about networking, it's nice working. Those deeds will, every time you do something nice for somebody, it's like a positive imprint. And those imprints are like seeds. And when you get to be my age, again, it's
your 20s,
yes, right. It pays off because I've had so many businesses come to me, they like my work, but also somebody at the agency did some good deed. And they remembered it. And and so do it, because then you create this fertile universe. And you know what? You're much happier. You look in the mirror every day, and you like what you see. And that makes you a harder worker and gives you more grit.
Linda Kaplan-Thaler, again, how can people find out more information to get in touch with you?
Yes, KaplanThalerProductions.com or, you know, they can at Linda Thaler, too, if they want to follow my tweets.
Linda, thank you so much for joining me on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Discover the value of corporate storytelling and how to grow your business as Talk Radio 77 WABC presents the Executive Business Forum with expert insight from Jeffrey Hazlett, Yitzhak Saflis, and fashion design icon Joseph Abboud, live from Stage 17 on Tuesday, July 16th, inside the Talk Radio 77 WABC studios, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Sol, Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Sol, Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol, Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.